For broadcasting or advertising opportunities, call 1-888-303-3884 or visit wildfireradio.com and click on Contacts.
You are listening to The Straight Shooters exclusively on Wildfire Radio. Subscribe to The Straight Shooters podcast on iTunes by visiting the iTunes store and download every episode on wildfireradio.com. Now, here's Vaughn Johnson and Nick Picone bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a back dick.
I don't really know us like the things that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
My God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, out there in the internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined, as always, by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone, Philly voice and Philly influencer. And you are listening to episode 203 of The Straight Shooters on a plethora of platforms. Before I get into all those platforms that we're on, I got to do my weekly check-in. My main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone, how you doing tonight, my good brother, on this rainy, stormy evening where there's a tornado warning in Burlington County, apparently.
Again.
For weather in this Philadelphia area as we record this show.
They are probably going to need to rename the Delaware Valley the second tornado alley of the United States, because that's what it feels like the last few weeks. And it's almost like every single night we're recording our show, like it happens.
Yeah, maybe it's our fault.
We've had problems with power outages before. You know, I remember... We were doing an episode with you in the dark, and I think about halfway through, we're like, you know what? Like, the connection was just so bad. It was just so laggy. So we recorded the next day. And then, like, a week or two later, I lost power. And then, like, a month or two later, this happens. So I'm just holding out hope that we don't lose power tonight. For right now, we're recording at a time where it seems like we're out of the woods in terms of the storms, but you never know. There could be somebody that runs into a power line that causes our power to go out. So I'm crossing my fingers right now that we get through this with no problem.
Well, let's hurry up and get it done then, I guess. Let's not waste any more time.
Thank you for listening to episode 203.
Yeah, we're done now. We're out. But if you're listening to episode 203, thank you. If you're a newcomer, or if you're just unfamiliar, you can find us on a whole bunch of platforms, like I mentioned earlier. Those platforms include Apple Podcasts, you can rate, review, subscribe to us. Of course, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com, where you can find all 202 prior episodes of The Straight Shooters. You can also do that on SoundCloud, is that correct?
Yes. The Straight Shooters podcast playlist, just search it and it'll come up.
There you go. All those episodes on SoundCloud and, of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. We got a plethora of exclusive content up there, including what we did last week, because last week, our previous shows, last time we recorded, I should say, kind of get twisted up there. We recorded our shows the day before Independence Day here in the United States, which is July 3rd. So we kept it patriotic and we live commentated the Body Slam Challenge on the USS Intrepid.
The Stars and Stripes Challenge.
Yes, it's buried deep.
Who can body slam Yokozuna?
Deep in the archives on the WWE Network, we watched the entirety of it.
Yeah, we did.
I had a glass of gin.
I am sorry, by the way. I kind of made Vaughn do that, but he was he was gentleman enough to sit through it with me and live through it with me for the whole hour.
I couldn't get through it without a glass of gin and some all right, gin and juice. Literally, I had gin and juice while watching this. That's the only way I can get through it. But it was interesting. We saw a lot of athletes that we, you know, kind of obscure that you had to look at the stats and figure out who the hell they were, including Joe Morris, who had 21 rushing touchdowns in 1985. So you're going to listen to that and more on Patreon. Of course, patreon.com/shootersradio. You can get access to that exclusive piece of content and more for the nominal fee of $1.99. So check it out. It was a lot of fun when we did it. One of our better, I think, offerings on Patreon. They're all great, obviously. But
they are.
This one is worth, I think, going out of your way. Strike up the WWE Network. Watch it along with us. And it's a good time, you know. Yeah, we had a good time. Didn't like it was a fun time for people that were there back in 1993, but whatever.
Part for me was putting that audio of that "I'll Be Your Hero" song actually into the audio file. So we listened to it at the same exact time, and it's actually on the podcast on our show, like the actual audio of that song. So the rest of it's not, but that song. So you could jam out to that song with us in your car if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I did that this week, but I'm not saying I didn't.
Yeah, just, you know, if you want to listen to that and more, patreon.com/shootersradio. Check it out. So we got a bunch of content up there. Of course, we got interviews with Blumini talking about 2300 Arena, other live commentaries. So go over there and check it out, patreon.com/shootersradio, for the nominal fee of $1.99. Yeah. Now,
remember when Ronda Rousey blew up WWE being fake and all that? We even had comments on that. You know, I forgot about that one, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about, this was before WrestleMania, obviously. So that was an interesting chat, too. So a lot of good stuff up there on Patreon.
Check it out on Patreon. All right.
Please.
What are we going to talk about on this here episode 203? Well, a couple things. Well, we got three major wrestling shows this weekend. That we're not going to go match by match and actually preview, because that would take forever. We got other stuff to talk about on the show. And we don't necessarily want to go match by match on everything and say, hey, who's going to win, who's not. So what we're going to do is preview each show. And those shows are, of course, AEW's All Elite Wrestling's Fight for the Fallen. You got Evolve 131, which is happening here in Philadelphia at the 2300 Arena. You can hear a special episode about the 2300 Arena on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. Let me remind you one more time. But that show is happening at the historic 2300 Arena on the same day as AEW's Fight for the Fallen. And, of course, Sunday is Extreme Rules, also here in Philadelphia, at the Wells Fargo Center. Of course, that's the WWE show. Not to mention, JR show is happening at Dave & Buster's on Sunday afternoon. Before that, I will be in attendance. So if you're going to be if you're in town, if you're in the area, you're going to Extreme Rules or you're going to JR show, holla at me. I will be at JR show. I probably won't be at Extreme Rules. But, hey, that's all right. We'll probably check it out somewhere. I don't know. But definitely be at the JR show at Dave & Buster's. Probably have a couple drinks in me before the show even begins. But what we're going to do for each show is we're going to talk about which match we're anticipating the most on each show. So just one match, break it down, a little in depth, one match we're looking forward to the most on each show. Because, hey, look, at the end of the day, this is a big wrestling weekend here in Philly. Two of those three major shows are happening here. And another one, of course, is AEW show. It's a big deal as well down in Jacksonville. So, you know, big wrestling weekend. But we had some stuff happen in the news this week, some weird stuff that we got to talk about first, okay? I feel like we should get this out of the way. Or do you want to do the previews for the...
We could go... This is a good topic, so
Let's dive right into it.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we had a fight. Quote-unquote fight. I'm using air quotes here for those who can't... This is everybody that can't see this.
If you want to call it that.
Yeah. It wasn't even a fight. Between Joey Janela and Enzo, the artist formerly known as Enzo Amore, at a Blink 182 concert, which is like, wait a second, who's going to Blink 182 concerts in 2019? That's already weird. But of course, it's Joey Janela and Enzo Amore. Of course, they're there. And they got into it, apparently. Apparently, Joey Janela introduced himself to Enzo. challenged him to a fight. Enzo took him serious, wanted to really fight him. Joe Janela was kind of drunk already. He probably had a couple White Claws in him, which are probably – I've never had a White Claw, but I don't like seltzer, so I'm not drinking them. Have you had White Claws yet?
No.
A White Claw consumer?
No, and I'm not even sure I'm fully, like, integrated in whatever the hell that is.
It's a seltzer, it's like a spiked seltzer.
I don't know. Has it been popular on Twitter? Because I haven't
it's
been, like –
big time. All my
it's kind of like I'm hearing – I'm seeing a lot of, like, meme tweets where when it comes to White Claw, but I've not been on it's Twitter that much recently, so I'm not as familiar with it as a lot of people.
It's like affluent Four Loko. Like, if you're in the suburbs and you got to come from tonight, you know, your family's got money, you don't want to get, like, super duper trash, but you still want to get kind of trashed, White Claws is for you. So, you know, cul-de-sac Four Loko. If you know what I'm saying?
I never even did the Four Loko thing, so I'm good.
Me neither. But Four Loko made its way into the hood. White Claws, not so much. That's why I say it's like suburban Four Loko. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay, that's thank you for the crash course.
So, sidetrack a little bit. I forgot to tell you this, but the Eagles, hey, we won a softball tournament, league tournament. We beat five other teams in the tournament at Nova Kick a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
The Jets, the Redskins, the Ravens, and the Giants. And the league office all came down and got waxed by the Eagles. All right, we didn't lose a game. Okay, but all my coworkers did was drink White Claws the entire time and after the game. I was like, "Where's the regular alcohol at?" So yeah. But congratulations
to your team.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah.
But White Claws was on deck. I had none of it. But back to the topic at hand. George Nella and Enzo Amore got into a spat. Nothing. No fists were thrown. Nothing really happened. It was just weird that they got into a fight. And it got me to thinking, because I don't think either one of these guys could actually fight in real life. Now, there's no disrespect to George Janela. He's a talented wrestler. He's got a name going for him right now. But that's wrestling.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Whoa, she stopped the bomb.
Oh.
We got a big bomb.
Oh, God. This happened again.
Yeah, we had the sixth thing with Ben Simmons. But, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably already know this because you listen to it after the fact. But the Thunder just traded Russell Westbrook to the Rockets for Chris Paul and future draft picks. How about that?
Wow.
Look at that.
How's Russ and James Harden going to work? That'll be interesting to see.
The old Thunder, they're back together. Only these KD and the old Thunder's back together.
That's true. All right. You know what? At least he's not coming to Miami where they would have been an added obstacle for the Sixers.
Yes.
So I like that.
I agree. Now, back to other drama going on in the world.
Enzo's not being traded because he stinks.
Right. I know some people were jumping in on Twitter like, yo, beat his ass, George Nella. You can fight him. It's like, that's because these guys are good pro wrestlers doesn't mean they can fight. All right? Right. And apparently George Nella admitted that he wanted to do it for... to get TMZ coverage, something like that. It got coverage. I don't know if TMZ was buying into it because I don't know. But it's just, I don't know. Just don't think because George Nella, and I'm not saying George Nella can't fight. He probably can in reality. I don't see it. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. And I'll admit if I'm wrong. But just because he can have a hardcore match with John Moxley and take some punishment doesn't mean he's whooping somebody's ass in real life.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts about this whole Joe Janela Enzo mess that happened at 182 concert of all places?
So the funny thing is I didn't even really read about it. Like I saw the headlines, but there was no video. So when there's nothing, like it's all a bunch of hearsay when there's no video to corroborate it.
Well,
so,
there's a video out there.
No, it came out after the fact.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
When I first heard about it, I wasn't even like really interested. I'm like, first of all, I could not care less about Enzo Amore, so like whatever he does, I'm not like following unless it's something like interrupting Survivor Series in the front row, like that was newsworthy, but I'm not tracking, you know, what he's doing. And then Joey Janela, like I'm kind of getting to know him a little bit. I didn't really watch him on the indies. I think I saw one indie match of his, and then but before his AEW matches. So, you know, to me, it was like the name value wasn't there for me, so I didn't even like care about it at first. And then I saw the video after the fact, and I forget what first tweet I saw. And it was like, here's like exclusive footage of the fight between them, and then I watched it.
Enzo put the video out. Whatever.
Oh, did he? Like, it might have been the first one I saw was maybe somebody sharing Enzo's video and saying like, "Oh, look at this fight." And I'm like, my first next thing was like, "That's not a fight." Like, at least what we saw in the video. I don't know if there was another video where they actually made contact with each other, but what I saw was not a fight. So I just thought it was a bunch of lame, hyped up drama. And obviously maybe alcohol was involved on one or both parties, but
definitely George Nellis. Like, he was show drunk in that video.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I didn't think it was. I didn't really spend time worrying about it, and I know it was like a hot topic, but I wasn't even like, "Oh, I'm on Janela's side versus Amore or any of that." I was just like, to me, they were just kind of both lame, and
I couldn't.
And it kind of made me embarrassed a little bit because they're known for pro wrestling. Like, regardless what Enzo's doing, like, I don't know if he's trying to be a musician again or still, but no matter what he's doing, like, I don't care. And then Janela, I'm just getting to know him, so like, he's not there yet for me. So I was just kind of like, that was kind of my first reaction to all of it.
No, I think you're right. You got a point there. And like, it is kind of embarrassing almost. It's like, and I'm not saying, like, I don't want to make it seem like I don't like either one of these guys. Enzo Amore had something going in WWE. George Janela's got he's got something going for him now. He's just in the main event of Fyter Fest for All Elite Wrestling and had a good match with Jon Moxley. It's not like he's not talented in the ring. It's just these guys are pro wrestlers, and this gets out on the internet, and it's supposed to be this big thing, and nothing happens. George Janela kind of backs away. Enzo is like the hype guy who acts like he really wants to fight until he gets punched in the face, and then it's like, I don't want to fight no more. Like, I've seen that 100 million times, so it's like, oh man, like, people are gonna think these guys are straight up like punks. Like, they may not be punks, it just didn't, but in this instance, in a vacuum, it didn't look great. Like, all I can think about was like Bill Watts, who was known for encouraging his wrestlers to go out and fight in the bars. Like, or not really encourage them, but if they did get into a fight, they better had won that fight. And if they didn't win, they'd be fired. They'd have to look for work elsewhere. And I'm not saying that's like condone fighting in places and stuff like that. But like I said, like, if you're gonna get into a fight, you better win. And if Bill Watts saw that, those guys are in his territory, they'd both be fired. Because it's just like, you did nothing. You both came out looking like suckers at the end.
And that's funny because, like, back then, you almost have to live the gimmick because the reality of wrestling was still out there. Like, there were people that knew it was, you know, staged and everything. But, I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, there were still a lot of people that didn't know, like, the ins and outs of the wrestling business. So if you were a wrestler and you went out to a bar and you got your ass kicked, that was not just, like, bad on looking for you or even, like, Bill Watts, but, like, the rest of the wrestlers that you work with. Like,
I think it's still that way to a certain extent.
Is it? Like, I mean,
I think if a wrestler wins a fight, and let's say he gets to a scuffle and he beats the other guy up, I don't know if people are going to go crazy about it as if he got his ass whooped.
Yeah,
these wrestlers, see, they're not tough. Oh, it'll just be like a self-fulfilling prophecy for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Even though these guys are tough, there are a lot of guys out there who will win fights in the bar if they have to. I'm not saying they're going out starting fights, but I'm saying, like, I think people, you know how it is. Look at World Star Hip Hop. You don't care about the guy who won the fight. You care about the guy who got knocked out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's always it's not the adulation for the guy who wins. It's more of the pointing and the laughing at the guy who gets knocked out. So that's what's going to happen to a pro wrestler. It's more the only time really that you see a guy who gets adulation for winning a quote unquote fight, a street fight, is when, like, you don't expect him to win. So let's say, like, you know, I don't know, what's something like a horse jockey or something like that, like a guy who rides horses. You can whip somebody's ass in the bar, people be like, "Yo, this 5'2" jockey just beat somebody up." Like, that's going to be like the big story.
Like the guy from the Swords and Stripes Challenge where we saw last week. Remember the jockey came out, tried to slam Yoko?
Yeah.
He was like 4'11".
Hey. Look at the guy who's in the bagel shop. You know, he didn't win that fight. But look, nobody cares about the guy who beat him up. All they care about is the guy who got his ass beat. That I actually feel bad for that guy, man. Like, kind of feel bad for him. He was being a dick, obviously. He's being an asshole. But yeah. Kind of feel bad. Like, he's clearly, like, something's, like...
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it, because...
He needs some therapy. The poor baby needs some therapy. He needs a hug, too. But
if he was around in 93, he should have went to Slam Yoko.
No, before he got that hug, he had to catch those hands. Like, I'm just saying. He still had to catch those hands, but after he catched those hands, then make sure he gets some help.
Well, sure, I mean, the one guy did tackle him.
Oh, he didn't. He punched him a couple times too, I think.
Did he?
He had to catch those paws on him. But man, this whole incident got me to thinking, because this isn't proper representation of pro wrestling. There are legit tough guys out there, and there have been for years in pro wrestling. They got me to thinking, who are the people involved in pro wrestling today that you would take, that you think could hold their own in a fight? Let's say you're at the club or at the bar, and stuff pop off, and it's on right then and there. Who do you think would win right then and there? Now, of course, throughout history, we've seen tough guys, right? There have been dozens of tough guys. Of course, easiest names come to mind is like Haku, who it's unanimous. You ask any old-time wrestler who's the toughest wrestler they've ever encountered, it's Haku. Like, no one messed with Haku. But if you go to, like, I don't know, the Vachons, or, you know, Stu Hart was apparently, you know, a tough shooter back in the day. You know, the names go on and on. Warlord was apparently a badass, something like that. You know, Danny Hodge, you know, NCAA champion, all this and that. So who are the guys today, though, that we can point to, like, you know what? That guy could probably hold his own. Or that gal could probably hold her own. So, Nick, I don't know if you had any names offhand. Throw me some names out there, because I got a whole list that I've kind of separated into different tiers and stuff like that. So just
tell
me what you're thinking.
Okay, I'm not going to go high first. I think you might obviously say this name, or hopefully he's on your list. But my guy, the one guy I think, at least on the WWE main roster right now, that I would take by my side wherever I am is Cesaro.
Cesaro.
I think Cesaro would be the dude that, even if he could take a punch and then he'll like punch you back like 8,000 times and like grab you in a headlock and like choke you out or something. Like I just have a feeling like his ridiculous power helps him in those types of situations where, yeah, we see it in the ring and that's art, that's performance art, but goddamn if he wouldn't use it to his advantage if he were to get in like a legit shoot fight. So I think Cesaro right now is my number one guy.
Even more than the guy he's facing at Extreme Rules, Alex Black, who's like got MMA influence and he's trained MMA and he looks crazy.
He's on my list too, but Cesaro was
like
a
guy
you
don't want to mess with. I wouldn't want to mess with Alex Black.
Cesaro got both of his teeth shoved into his brain almost and finished the match, man.
All right, but
you can do whatever you want to Cesaro. He would take you down until he won.
All right, that don't mean he can fight, though. There's a difference.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, you can do whatever you want. Like, he ain't knocking Cesaro out cold.
I mean, everybody's got a chin, man. They can get knocked out.
I'm just saying, he won't let it happen.
Got knocked out. All right.
You would not be able to come close to him.
Apparently, Cesaro's a man with the iron jaw, apparently. I didn't know that. You know, the strongest chin in the world.
Cesaro's my guy.
And
he's finally back.
Yeah, he's probably losing Extreme Rules, though. They built him up just to get knocked down by Aleister Black.
That's fine.
I kind of have like a list of a lot of people. Kind of split it up into three categories. I said shooters, and these are like amateur wrestlers, you know, grapplers, shooters.
Me and you.
Yeah, of course. We're straight ones, straight shooters. That sounded a little weird, but whatever. Straight shooters. The next tier, next category I had. Guys or gals with MMA/martial arts influence. Okay, and then the next one is people who are just like straight up street fighters who you just wouldn't want to mess with. They don't have like an official fight background, but you know they're tough as hell. So that list features people like, and he's not currently wrestling, but I still take him over almost everybody, and that's Booker T.
He was one I was thinking about too.
Booker T.
That's a good one.
Everybody says.
And he even at his age right now, he would whoop.
Yeah, right today, he would.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody's heard this, but the legend goes, and he's talked about this, Booker T, on his podcast and the various other podcasts is that he was on a photo shoot. I don't know if you remember that SummerSlam 2005 commercial where there was like a house and stuff like that or the beach or whatever. But apparently, Booker T is on that shoot with Batista. And he didn't like Batista the way he was talking to him. Whatever happened, something happened. All that notice, and they came to blows. And apparently, Booker T tuned Batista up in flip-flops. Batista ain't no small man. Batista's my guy. We talked about it in the past. We like Batista.
Yeah.
And he's been doing MMA, so I don't know. He might, he probably can whoop people's asses now too. But back in 05, Booker T handled him, tuned him up with flip flops on.
That's even tough. That's tough, dude.
That ain't easy.
I don't even wear flip flops because I can't, like, I don't feel safe. I never feel safe with flip flops.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good one. That's a good one to have. And it's funny because I thought about the same thing in the same exact incident too. And I think Batista was dating or seeing Milena at that time, and then Booker T was with Charmel, and I don't know if they had like an issue like Charmel and Milena, or if it was definitely between Booker and Dave, and then they just go back and forth. But yeah, I remember that, and remember hearing about it and reading about it, and thinking like, there's no way look how big Batista is, but Booker's not a small guy either, you know? Like, he definitely would be able to hold his own against some of the toughest guys. So, I mean, to me back then, Batista would have been like a tough guy, but even like in real life, he would, maybe even today, he would be like that, but definitely Booker T's a good one.
Yeah, I'm just saying, people say what you want, just don't mess with Booker T. I just wouldn't do it. Just wouldn't do it. You have another name you want to throw out? I got a bunch of names.
Yeah. I'm going to go the female route, and the first female I thought of was Shayna Baszler.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Because she's just a hardcore badass on TV and probably off TV. Like,
I mean, all four of the four horsewomen. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Marina Shafir, Jessamyn Duke, Ronda Rousey, and of course Shayna Baszler. I mean, they tear everybody apart in WWE. Like, no question. They beat up most of the men, probably.
And it's funny because I don't go Ronda because she's out of the picture right now. So, I mean, if she was still in the picture, maybe I go Ronda over Shayna. But I'm not like trying to rank them in order. Like, yeah, I said Cesaro was my first pick or whatever, but I'm not saying like he's better than every single one. I'm just kind of like freestyling here a little bit with listing the names. So Cesaro and Shayna. Man, if I had both of them by my side, I would start as much crap as I could. Because they would
shot.
I'd be like that the bagel dude, just starting shit all everywhere, and then walking away.
You're going to get
just
shot.
Just seeing everything happen.
You're going to get shot.
No, they would step in front of me, and you know what? It wouldn't even go through them. They would catch the bullet. That's how badass they are.
Now we're living in fantasy land now. Dreams of, you know, delusions and grandeur. Okay. since you went
to, when's the last time I heard that?
I got you. I gotta pull stuff out the bag sometimes. Since you went the MMA route, I'm gonna pull out a name that I know some people might think about: Brock Lesnar. You said Shayna Baszler.
That's one of them, yeah.
Right? Matt Riddle would be a name that people might think about because he also not far along, you know, far away from MMA. But how about Jack Gallagher? He does MMA. Okay. He's won fights in MMA. He's a guy. He's a smaller guy. He does the gentleman thing, but I don't know, something about it. I wouldn't want to mess with that guy, man.
He's sneaky. I could see him being like a sneaky type fighter where he probably will headbutt you for real. You know, like he makes those headbutts look great in the ring, but hot damn, dude, if he nails you with one of those, you're out. You're probably out on your feet.
I'm not messing with Jack Gallagher. I'm trying to look up his MMA record. I know he's done fights.
That's interesting.
He's had fights in MMA.
In the US or over anywhere. In the UK? Everywhere?
Oh, well, according to the story in 2016, he had a record of 2-0. Both of them first round submissions.
Oh,
this
wow.
This is back 2016. I don't know if he's had fights since. I doubt it because he's been with WWE. But he, at that point, was training MMA for 8 years. So if he's still been doing it, that means he's 11 years into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah, do not mess with Jack Gallagher. He will tear your arm off.
Would you take Jack Gallagher over CM Punk?
Yes. No doubt. The only
I don't know anybody that wouldn't.
The only thing that CM Punk would have on him is probably weight and height. But yeah. Jack Gallagher has... Yeah. I just said he has 8 years of jiu-jitsu in his back pocket. But CM Punk, how long has he been doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu? At like a real level. Not like just going to the gym and training for a little bit. I'm talking about like actually training for a fight type of stuff.
I don't know.
No, I'm taking Jack Gallagher.
Oh, definitely me too.
CM Punk, who would be a guy that I would take over the like the normal person because he does have some training. He's been in two UFC fights. But he just, compared to like a Jack Gallagher, doesn't look like a good fighter. Like, you just tell, like, oh, it's just not quite there. It doesn't look like he belongs. But I guess somebody like me or you who has no Brazilian jiu-jitsu training, you can get me on the ground and tear me apart. I don't know what I'm doing.
Dude.
So that's the type of person you see in a bar, probably, is a guy who doesn't know how to fight at all, just never been to the gym, and then wipe the floor with him.
If I was in that position, I would close my eyes and
just do pray. Just do the windmill punches.
Yeah. Just word tell him, get it over quickly, please. Because I ain't about that life.
I got some, like I said, I called them shooters, so like the amateur wrestler types on here. Number one on my list, I'm going to take one guy. Like, if I'm taking a grappler, Shelton Benjamin's coming with me to this fight. Shelton Benjamin, if you recall, was Brock Lesnar's roommate in college.
Yes.
Shelton Benjamin, don't play games, bro. Like, would not mess with Shelton Benjamin. He's older and stronger now, too, than he was back in the day. He still got them skills? Nope. Yeah. I'll mess with Shelton Benjamin, fam.
You know what I'm looking forward to? And this is kind of like an aside. Whatever they're doing with him on TV. He's just looking around with his eyes. Have you seen, like, those... It is, but it's like so it cracks me up because I could like I'm thinking about that, and I'm like maybe he's thinking about how much he would kick someone's ass in real life when he's just looking around.
Probably, I maybe think the fight
with now I forgot about that note where he was the roommate of Brock Lesnar. So that even like Brock's like a different animal. I think he could be at the top of the list, the tippy top for legit. Guys, I could kick someone's ass based on his sheer size. And
he's a no-brainer.
So like,
he's a former UFC heavyweight champion. Like, it's like,
yeah, true.
I mean, come on, he's a no-brainer. He's a guy that's definitely on that list of guys. So, that would I mean,
you don't think Shelton's learned a little bit about stuff from Brock? Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good pick. That's actually that could be a sleeper pick because I don't think many people would think about him. In the top of the, you know, not the top, but like even on the middle of their lists.
Should be a sleeper. Shelton Benjamin should be at the top. All right. Other shooters that I got in here, Jeff Cobb.
Okay. Yeah.
Big truck of a man he is. What are you going to do with him? Sneaky guy that people don't really think about as a shooter because he's so far removed from that. He rarely uses it in his arsenal. But Dolph Ziggler is like,
I was going to say that.
Best wrestler in Kent State history.
Yeah.
Don't mess with Dolph Ziggler. I wouldn't mess with Dolph Ziggler. I don't, you know, I just wouldn't try it. He still got that in his arsenal. He can still do it. Still grapple at least.
Chad, he looks great.
Yeah, he's in great shape. Chad Gable is an Olympian at wrestling. I don't think I need to say much more. Don't mess with an Olympian in grappling and wrestling and stuff like that. And last but not least, are the guys that I think are like the good shooters, and there's probably way more. If you have more names, throw them at us at Shooters Radio on Twitter, Facebook, all that. At Vonim Johnson, at Kevin Cone. Tell us if we miss somebody. But the last name that I'm going to throw out, as far as the shooters list, that the guys who are amateur wrestlers, Bobby Lashley.
I was gonna say, man, you got two of my guys. You got two of
I'm
my
sorry.
Guys.
Bobby Lashley would destroy people. One, he's jacked to the gills. And on top of that, he has a wrestling background. And he's done MMA. Don't mess with Bobby Lashley. Don't even try it. Just don't. No. Stay away from him. You have to shoot him. That's one. You just go straight to the trunk. You don't even fight him. Because look at him. He's chiseled from granite.
Dude, he is.
And then he can wrestle. He can fight on top of that. He can fight. He got MMA. Nah, you can't. Nah. You run away as fast as you possibly can from Bobby Lashley, if you don't have any weapons on you, like a bat or something like that, with barbed wire wrapped around it, that's on fire. Like, if you don't have that right then and there, run.
Yeah, I think Bobby is a great one. That was one of mine. Him and Dolph Ziggler, I thought, would have been like almost sleeper picks for me. For not even I just meant in general, but that's good. Like, you put them in categories and tiers where I didn't really view it that way. So Lashley and Ziggler, a lot of people forget, like, they have legit training. Lashley was doing MMA while he was in TNA, you know, yeah. Like, he was wrestling and doing MMA actually at the same time, and they let him do that, and I thought that was just crazy in and of itself, and it just showed what a freak he is as just an athlete, but, like, he legit trains like he's the best at everything, and he's proven that. Like, he had a hell of a run in TNA as a pro wrestler, and then in MMA, I'm not even sure he lost the fight yet, but
I gotta look that up too. Yeah,
you like, he was doing really good, I know, in MMA, but I don't know how long ago that was, because I know when he came back to WWE, that wasn't I think he completely got rid of
the Bobby MMA, Lashley so. Is 15 and 2.
That's right.
He won his last 8 fights. Now, I don't know who he's faced, like, as far as name value or, you know, talent level, but he was in Bellator. Last fight was in 2016. I mean, hey, he won. I mean, that's more than what CM Punk can say.
You might have been saying the same thing I was about to say, with 4 knockouts and 8 submissions. So that's like 12 of his 15 wins just because he kicked the ass. And by decision, he had 3 wins. So I guess they could have went anyway. And then 1 knockout and 1 decision, he lost. So, I mean, that's a hell of a good MMA record regardless. And I didn't realize he had that many.
Yeah.
He had 17 total fights. And that's, I think he started when he went to TNA. I'm not sure he started his MMA career until he left WWE the first time.
According to Sure Dog, he had his first fight in 2008.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he was called by WWE by then.
Yeah, he was out of WWE by like 07.
Yeah.
I don't think he was, let me think. He might have been, I don't think he was in WWE in 08. Because he's at 23 in 2007. He might have been gone by late 07, early 08. Okay, this is December 08, so this is virtually 09, you know, almost 09 when he had his first fight. So yeah, he was out of WWE by that point. Because he wasn't, you know, was he? I'm trying to think. Was he at WrestleMania in 2008?
I mean, he might. What number was that? 24.
4.
So in Orlando.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. All those WrestleManias run together for me now. Like, I remember the early WrestleManias up to like 18, 19, 20. After 23, they get like hazy on me a little bit.
Let me see real quick. No, it doesn't. It's not on the Wikipedia page for it. So, nope, he's probably gone. All right, regardless, Bobby Lashley, do not mess with him. Do you have any names that you want to throw out real quick?
You know who I think would kick some ass? Drew McIntyre. He's a big guy, but I think he's a legit badass in real life.
Yeah, big, husky kind of guy. I probably wouldn't want to mess with him either. I mean, if I had to, I would. I'm a courageous guy, but I wouldn't necessarily pick a fight with you, McIntyre. That's a fair one.
And maybe both of the War Raiders. I think they both come across as legit badasses. I don't even know, like, their background, like, before wrestling. If they were an MMA or just, like, legit street fighting, like, I'm just going by those dudes know how to move. And when you're that big and you know how to move, that only helps your case when you're in, like, an actual fight. Like, you got to be agile in a fight. Because then you got to, like, move around and stuff. And we kind of saw that a little bit when Enzo and Joey, but they didn't do anything with that. They were just moving around. I think I tweeted the video. I was like, this is how wrestling fans fight on Twitter. They just they square up and then they just walk away. So, but yeah, like the War Raiders would be the War Raiders. Did I say War Raiders?
They're the Viking Raiders, man. Get it right.
Sorry about that. Jeez. WWE is going to sue me now.
Yeah. Just be glad you didn't say Viking Experience, all right? But the Viking Raiders, they are 2 football teams in 1.
I don't think I'll ever say that again.
But I agree with you on that, because I've said it multiple times on the show. I'm pretty sure I've said it on the show multiple times, but I readily admit that Raymond Rowe in person is the scariest human being I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Like, I think we were at the Ring of Honor show together, and this is before they did the whole face paint thing, and they were just Hanson and Rowe in Ring of Honor, and they were in Philly, and Raymond Rowe is probably the nicest person in the world. Is he the one married to Sarah Logan, or is that Hanson? Let me look that up real quick. Because one of them is married to Sarah Logan. She's married to Raymond Rowe. All right.
Okay.
So Raymond Rowe, probably a sweetheart of a man. He's probably a great husband. But boy, if I don't think he's the scariest looking person I've ever seen in my life. When I saw him in person at that show, and he's scary without the face paint. He just looks, for me, bald, tattoos on his stomach. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Wouldn't mess with him.
How about Baron Corbin?
Stop it. He might be. I don't know.
Quick. That was the quickest shutdown I've ever heard.
I think he's got boxing in his background. I think he does. Not like high, like professional. I'm thinking like.
So not like Mark Barrow.
No. Well, I think he might have competed Golden Gloves. We can look that up as well. But
I'm saying like he's got the height. Like he could be a legit badass and get down dirty.
He was in the Golden Gloves Tournament of Champions super heavyweight division. He was a regional champion in Golden Gloves 2-time.
That's good.
So he's got that in his background. So, you know, he's got hands at least, you know. I just look, we're talking about guys who, I mean, he can, I'm sure he can hold his own. I mean, most wrestlers could hold their own in a fight. Let's just be perfectly honest. But there are some that I would take into a fight over others. If I got to pick my team, I'm taking Booker T over Baron Corbin. That's just me.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm not saying Baron Corbin can't fight, but that's just me.
I'm sitting here looking at the AEW roster, and I'm like, maybe Pac.
I think Pac on the roster that I'm like, oh yeah, he can fight for sure.
I think Pac would be a legit shoot fighter.
I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what it is about him, but
the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, they're great wrestlers. That's
what I'm saying.
In the club, I don't know, man. If I need
no.
I ride him in a bar fight. I don't know if I'm taking him in a bar fight. Great wrestlers.
Cody, no. And just because the family lineage doesn't mean anything here in terms of that. Like, doesn't mean he's tougher than some guys. Doesn't mean he's not, but to me, Cody wouldn't be up there. Adam Page, maybe.
Yeah.
Not Chris Jericho. I mean,
no, actually.
Not now.
Chris Jericho isn't afraid of anybody. Though. That's the thing. That's something. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah,
he's a guy who's not afraid to fight anybody. He's like a honey badger, and he's been doing MMA training recently. I'm not saying he's like well versed, but you know. So I'll take a Chris Jericho in a fight because he doesn't give a damn. You got to have that reckless abandon sometimes, and sometimes just being not knowing karate but knowing crazy can get you over in a fight. You know.
Oh man, that's a great line, man.
You know.
Touche.
Thank you. Speaking of karate, I got a name for you that you might not have thought of. Because this person knows karate. I don't know if this is still his name. But how about Punishment Martinez?
Okay. Yeah, Damian Priest.
Yeah, he's Damian Priest. I know he had a different name in WWE. I forgot his name. Damian Priest.
He was on NXT this week. It was on in the background. I did not watch it. I'm sure he won. But, you know, I haven't seen enough of him. And actually, I guess that doesn't really mean anything. Like, I don't need to see them in the ring to have an opinion on whether they be
a fighter,
I guess.
Because I wrote a story about him a couple of years ago when he was still in Ring of Honor. And he told me he has a karate background. He was really good at karate when he was younger. Won like, some titles and stuff like that. And he incorporates that into his offense now in wrestling, pro wrestling. So, yeah, if I wouldn't mess with a guy who was karate.
No, me neither. Because I'm sure he would kick my ass.
Right. You can say height advantage on you, reach and all that, you know?
Dude, I could bring like a baseball bat and I would still get my ass kicked.
You might kick the bat out of your hands and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm down with that.
Oh, no. Let's not rehash that.
Speaking of, Asuka would kick my ass and kick everyone's ass.
Probably. I wouldn't mess with Asuka either. She seems like somebody who whooped a lot of ass.
She came back to TV this week.
She's probably a really nice person in real life, but I wouldn't want to make her upset. It's just
no, just cook your face off.
Yeah, but you like that, remember?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
This is weird already. We're going.
I like being kicked. Remember?
This is. I'm not.
Callback.
Just
check out our archives for that episode.
A couple names I'm gonna throw out here, just real quick. MMA people. How about Filthy Tom Lawler? He's an MLW. He's in the UFC, so not messing with Tom Lawler. Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, they always do the MMA stuff, so they got some MMA background. Again, you're not just talking about, like, how good would they do in MMA. We're talking about how good would they do against regular people who have no MMA training. Right. So a person like Bobby Fish or Kyle O'Reilly, maybe they get trashed in UFC, but in the club or in the bar, they are doing the trashing. They're not the trashy, so trust me on this one. Another MMA person, Sonya Deville. People forget that she's done. She's got MMA in her background. Mm-hmm. So she can beat somebody up if she wanted to. Some normal drunk person in the bar. How about Daniel Bryan? Seems like such a nice guy, but has done a bunch of MMA training and actually stopped someone from, was it stealing his car? What was it? Like, they almost robbed.
Oh, yeah, I remember. He
choked the guy out until the cops came?
Yeah. Yeah, at his home, right?
Yeah. That was like 3 years ago, whatever it was. Like,
yeah.
Types of people that Daniel Bryan would be fighting in this situation. He owned that guy.
That's a good one that I don't think would be. I'm not sure he would be at the forefront of many lists like this. That's a good pick.
Seems like he is a nice guy. I've met him, and we both met him, and we interviewed him. He is a nice guy, and he's very environmentally conscious and stuff like that. And he's all about goodness in the world, but if it comes down to it, Daniel Bryan will have to defend himself, and he can do that if he needs to. Last two MMA names I'm going to throw out there. Samoa Joe seems like a guy that I just wouldn't want to mess with. Mm-hmm. And Shinsuke Nakamura is very well-versed in MMA. He's had MMA fights. So don't mess with Shinsuke. Don't let the booking fool you. Shinsuke can tear you apart if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
And then last couple of street fighters I'm going to throw out here. I wouldn't want to mess with the Briscoes. They just seem crazy. They just seem like guys that you wouldn't want to mess with the Briscoe brothers. A pair of chicken farmers from Delaware.
Yeah, no, I'll pass on that.
Yeah. And so how about Walter?
Yeah.
Walter's just big.
He would chop the shit out of me.
Yeah, big. Just doesn't, that character he plays, like this emotionless guy.
Yeah.
Again, not a guy I just want to mess with. Same goes with Keith Lee. Just a big old barrel-chested dude. Nope. Big hands. Like, they just slap you across the face like a bear. And your skin falls off your face.
I'm not down with that.
No. Not at all. And last but not least, these guys are a tag team. I don't know if they can really fight in real life, but they play the characters well on TV, so I'm going to put them on here. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan.
Yeah. I can see that. They're tough. Yeah.
It seemed like it, at least. They play the characters well, at least.
Lorcan just had a great match on 205 Live with Arya Daivari. It was like almost an Extreme Rules type match. I didn't catch the whole thing. I caught some of it, so I'm going to watch the whole thing this weekend. But just like we've seen him in NXT for a while now too, and he's just like a tough son of a bitch, man.
Yeah, and one last name before I forget. Can't forget my Northeast High School brethren, Drew Gulak.
See, that's just pandering now.
I don't care. He did wrestle in high school. He's got amateur wrestling in his background. So, for me, that's all I care about.
That's good enough.
And no Viking can't fight. So, that goes for the Viking Raiders, too. So
That's a good... I like how you put that together. You piece that puzzle together quite nicely.
You're a Northeast Viking. You can hold your own. Look at me as proof.
All right, I'll give you that. I don't have anybody in my school that made it big in WWE, so.
Exactly. This is not by accident. You know what I'm saying? It's not by accident. All right. Any last names before we move on to this weekend's slate of shows?
But Haku's sons, they're probably badass too.
I'm sure.
Mess with them. And, in New Japan, I wouldn't mess with Naito. I think he's...
Naito?
Yeah.
That's something I didn't think about.
I think he's a badass, and I would never... he's just kind of... He reminds me almost of how you describe Jericho, where, like, he's not afraid of anyone. And I could see him just being, like, crazy enough to, brawl with anyone and hold his own. I just feel like he's that tough guy. in New Japan. And that's just
what
I read on it.
How can we forget, like, Ishii in New Japan?
Yeah, he was right there. Yeah.
Suzuki. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not mess with Minoru Suzuki. He fits all those categories that I mentioned earlier. Forget all that. Minoru Suzuki can... seems like the most terrifying man on the planet.
Yep.
And how about the Gorillas of Destiny? I wouldn't mess with them neither.
No.
Like you said, those are Haku's sons. Well, one of them is Haku's sons, right? At least.
Yeah, Tama.
Tama Tanaka.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't mess with them. No, no. No, I wouldn't do it. But, yeah, how can we forget Minoru Suzuki? I mean, we went the whole time without mentioning Minoru Suzuki. Come on. We messed up there. But we made up for it. We mentioned it.
We did not mess up. We did a great job there because there's a ton of really legitimately tough guys and women in pro wrestling. And it's really hard. It's actually hard to, like, come up with a list of, like, legitimately tough where you think, you know, dude, if Enzo popped off to one of them, they wouldn't just sit back like Joey Janela. They would fuck it. Excuse my language. I'll edit that out. They would, like, kick his ass. So, you know, that's where this all stemmed from. So, and I almost feel bad for Janela because I want to see Enzo get his mouth popped.
Yeah. So,
because I'm not a fan.
If you have any names that we think we missed, because I'm pretty sure if we didn't say Minoru Suzuki, people would be like, Minoru Suzuki!
Yeah.
But if you have any other names that you think we've missed, please feel free to reach out to us and tell us that we missed those names. We're, you know, we can't remember everybody. So I'm sure there's other people out there that you think would be tough and badass and, you know, hold their own in a fight. Let us know. Ask Shooters Radio. Find us on Facebook. What's the link for Facebook?
Facebook.com/TheStraightShooters.
There you go. I'm at Von M. Johnson. He's at Nick McCone. You can any one of those social media channels, hit us up and let us know where we messed up, who we missed on this.
I'm telling you, man, like we love discussing things, you know, with our listeners. And if you're going to criticize something that I say on Twitter, wrestling wise, listen to the podcast to get context because
you're probably saying this to the wrong crowd. They're already listening to the podcast here.
They are, yes. But I have
this on Twitter.
One guy that is on Twitter. And he never listens to the podcast, but yet he always has a comeback for everything. He doesn't know the context of what I'm saying when it comes to at least WWE, AEW, whatever. He just goes on his own and floats on his own. Just listen to the podcast and get the full scope of everything we're doing instead of picking and choosing and nitpicking like everything. So that was my PSA because I guarantee if I don't put the names that we mentioned in like the description for the podcast, we're gonna be like, well, why didn't you mention this guy? It's like, well, we did you actually listen to the podcast? So that was my short PSA because it was just annoying earlier this week where I was in a discussion with somebody that clearly doesn't listen to the podcast who talks to me about wrestling every single week. It's like, dude, like, what are you doing?
Don't talk to me unless you listen to the show.
I'm not going that far. I'm just saying, like, no, I'm not. You're not. I'm not saying what you're saying that I'm saying because you don't listen to the podcast. You don't know what I'm saying.
I am confused now. What's the one?
Just listen to the podcast before coming at me. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, let's move on from this discussion to another, and that's this weekend's slate of events happening in pro wrestling. We have three big shows, two of which are happening in the wonderful city of Philadelphia.
Three Paul Whites.
Okay. Big show. Okay, big I get show. It. I didn't get it at first, and I was like, what? Oh, I got it now. It took me a second.
You're welcome.
It took me a second.
For that hilarious joke.
It took me a second, I must admit. But, of course, we got Evolve 131 happening to 2300 Arena here in Philly. We got Fight for the Fallen, AEW Fight for the Fallen happening down in Jacksonville, and we got Extreme Rules at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, all happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So we're going to pick, like I said earlier, one match from each show that we're most looking forward to. Nick, let's start off with Evolve 131 happening, like I said, at the 2300 Arena, bell time, 8 p.m., 23 South Swanson Street, the building formerly known as ECW Arena in South Philly. What's one match on this card that you're looking forward to?
Oh, so there's actually two here, and I actually thought...
You're cheating already.
Yeah, I'm not going to say both, but I saw the one match, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's the match, and then the one right below it. And I'm looking forward to that one, and I might be stealing your thunder here because it's your guy. I'm looking forward to Drew Gulak versus Matt Riddle. I think that might be the best match on the card.
That could be the best match of the weekend, and I agree.
Yeah.
Matt Riddle and Drew Gulak, Catch Point reunion match, according to the website. Yeah, that's going to be great.
CPR match? Like, the hell?
Yeah. Loser gets revived, I think, being... I don't know. So yeah, that's going to be
that's
very fun match. Another match I'm looking forward to, I mean, I'll choose another match since you picked that one. How about the Evolved Tag Team Championship match? Eddie, Joe Gacy going against AR Fox and Leon Ruff. That should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I'm not. I've seen Eddie Kingston, but I'm not familiar with like Joe Gacy and AR Fox. I've seen, but not Leon Ruff. So I've seen two of these guys before. So you know, I'm not familiar with Evolve and any of the other indie promotions these guys have been in. But Eddie Kingston and AR Fox, I am. So that'll be interesting. I like seeing faces I know. From other things, and but I gotta shoot at the top, man. The NXT Championship. You got Adam Cole defending against Akira Tozawa. Might be Tozawa's biggest match of his career, even though he's been on WWE pay-per-view pre-shows and 205 Live main events. This might be like the biggest match of his career because this could make him.
I mean, it's big
in WWE.
Just the fact that this is happening, I mean, I understand that people, like, oh, they're trying to compete with AEW and blah, blah, blah. And I understand that people, like, are upset about that. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's really not going to hurt AEW's business at all. Most people are probably going to watch Fight for the Fallen over this. They're going to watch this after the fact. That's what I would do if I was going to watch both at the same time.
Yeah.
That's how I would approach it. But just the fact that this is happening, like, take away the fact that this AEW show is happening at the same time on the same day or whatever. WWE Network's going to air live from the ECW arena. We've been waiting years for that.
Yeah.
How many times, like, every time NXT is there, they got to go to 2300, they got to go to the ECW, and they just haven't. They've gone
Tower Theater. Yeah.
They were at the Fillmore a couple months ago. So it's not NXT, but it's Evolve. I'm curious to see how they, you know, doll it up, make it look nice for, if they do anything at all, for Evolve in the 2300 arena. So that's pretty cool. And then all these guys who have never been on, haven't never had as many eyeballs on them. I mean, yeah, these guys have probably been on, you know, WWN, but most of these guys, a lot of people haven't seen before. This is the biggest stage for Austin Theory, who's like 20 years old. Austin Theory, he's like a prodigy, you know, in Evolve. Like, he's literally like 21. He's already the Evolve champion. I'm looking at his actual age. He's super young. He's 22.
And that'll be an interesting match because he's facing JD Drake, and it's actually a winner-take-all match.
Right.
There's a WWN title and then the Evolve title. So, and I'm looking forward to the production. Like, is the production going to be amped up a little bit because it's WWE Network, right, or are they just going to have a regular Evolve production just streaming?
Yeah,
like, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, I know.
Play out?
Yeah, like, I know. Like, can you get all the WWE's production in that ECW arena? Like, I mean, it's bigger now than it was, but, like, how is that going to play out? Like, what's the look going to do? Like, what's the feel of it going to be like? So I'm interested in all that. And the fact that you brought up ECW arena, that, like, I completely forgot about that. And that's, like, huge in this area. Like, we're in the Philly area. Like, that probably shouldn't even have been forgotten by me. Like, that's... Every Philly wrestling fan is, like, hyped up for this because it's the ECW arena, not just because it's Evolve and WWE affiliated. So I'm looking forward to it. And maybe that's why everyone was so angry, because they knew that when we get to the when WWE announced this a few weeks ago, it's like when we get to that weekend, everyone's going to be hyped up for it. And that's going to take away from Fight for the Fallen. But I'm not going to watch Evolve over Fight for the Fallen, you know. That's like you said, like, just because it's in Philly and like I'm really excited about it, AEW's still the show, you know, like at this point, you know, anything that goes head to head with it minus a WWE pay-per-view, you know, you would think AEW gets top billing. So I'm just feel the same way you do.
Right, so this is a big stage for all these guys, especially guys who have never been on WWE Network. Like I said, Austin Theory, JD Drake, all these guys, you know, who don't get this opportunity. This is a big stage. This is probably the biggest show Evolve has ever had. AR Fox. This is AR Fox has been grinding for years in wrestling, and he was in what's it called, Lucha Underground for a little while. But AR Fox, you talk about a guy that deserves his due, and here's his chance on a WWE Network, which has more than a million subscribers. Now I don't think a million people are going to watch, but there's a potential there, obviously, for over a million people to watch potentially. But this is, I mean, this is huge. This is a guy who's been, like I said, grinding in this business for years, and here's his shot. So as much as you can be like, oh, this is, you know, crappy, you're going against AEW, be happy for guys like AR Fox, who, you know, has never had this many people watch him. Unless you think Lucha Underground is getting watched by a bunch of people, which it wasn't. It's a great show, but it wasn't. So, you know, be happy for guys like that. All right, let's move on to the show we were just talking about, Fight for the Fallen, AEW. Happening pretty much at the same time, I think, right? Like 7 to 8 o'clock or whatever. At TI Bank Bank Field Drive? I don't know. Daly's Place.
Daly's Place.
I said the address. Daly's Place Amphitheater. I don't know. Whatever. It's in Jacksonville. What match are you looking forward to on this show?
Ah, man. I like this. My favorite match from looking at the list is probably Kenny Omega versus Seema.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I feel like the tag match might be fun, but everything else, you know, you have like another six-man tag team match and another tag match, and then the singles matches leaves some things to be desired. Kenny Omega versus Chima might be the biggest match.
I will give the nod to Cody and Dustin versus the Young Bucks. At the first show, Double or Nothing, Cody and Dustin had what was my favorite match in that show. Everything that's had Cody in it has been pretty much my favorite stuff. So I would imagine this is going to be really good. I don't know what kind of story they're going to tell in this match, but I'd imagine, like I mentioned before, Double or Nothing. Man, Dustin can go. I'm not worried about whether he can hang with the Young Bucks. He will be able to hang with the Young Bucks. He ain't going to do the flippy stuff, but he'll be hanging with them. Trust me on that one. He knows what he's doing in there. So I'll say that one, too. I'll give the nod to the Rhodes brothers going against the Bucks of youth, as Matt Hardy would call
them. That's funny.
And let's wrap it up with Extreme Rules happening at the Wells Fargo Center here in Philadelphia. What's the one match you're looking forward to on this show?
Do I go The Undertaker coming back one more time in Philly and teaming with Roman Reigns? No. I've seen Ricochet and AJ Styles. I know that's going to be great. One match I'm looking forward to more than that is Kofi Kingston versus Mojo.
God, I was going to pick that match. I'm hoping you go with AJ and Ricochet, because, like, all right, we've seen that, like, but that's going to be great, but, like, Kofi and Samoa Joe's going to be great.
And here's the thing. I do think Kofi goes into SummerSlam as the champion, but I could see the title change here.
Pause. Let's pause for a second. I remember before WrestleMania thinking, like, if Kofi Kingston gets, like, a month title reign,
you said that on this
I'd be happy.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, hey.
You even said the Tuesday after on SmackDown he can lose it. Whatever. Right. Just win it in WrestleMania. You said that. Yeah.
That's legit what I said.
Yep.
We're in July. It looks like, potentially, he's going into all he has to do gets past this show, and he can go into SummerSlam as a champion. I didn't see that in a million years.
Me neither.
I don't know if everyone agrees with the creative. I don't care. They gave Kofi Kingston a run with the title that others have not gotten with the title.
You know what's interesting?
So many others who have not gotten that WrestleMania to, you know, I know, hopefully we don't jinx him here, but that WrestleMania to SummerSlam run, that's not everybody gets that. And he's potentially got it. Now, of course, he can lose at Extreme Rules to Samoa Joe, which I wouldn't be upset about. Samoa Joe probably should have got the title a year ago when he was going against AJ Styles. But here we are. But you got to give it up for everything that WWE messes up on a daily basis, it seems like. They at least gave Kofi Kingston a good run with the title.
Yeah, and when you said like you weren't sure what other people are saying about creative, what I've seen, the majority of people that, you know, we follow, or, you know, mainly Twitter, social media, they love how Kofi's been booked as champion. They're like, this is the way a champion should be booked. He only got pinned for the first time a week or two ago. Since before WrestleMania, you know, like he went on that run. February was the last time I think he lost, or March when it was the build to WrestleMania, because they had like a month and a half or something, so they needed to hold off announcing Kofi as like the number one contender or something. And that was like really the last time he lost. So he's been given this, now we're, like you said, July, and he lost, he got pinned for the first time since then, like a week or two ago. So he's been booked as well as a champion could be booked in WWE 2019. You know, like we've said it before on this podcast, champions seem to lose all the time in WWE, but Kofi's not, he's been the outlier in a very good way. So, you know, like I could see him just, I don't know if they would give Samoa Joe like that type of reign, like you said Kofi could get like at WrestleMania. Maybe Samoa Joe wins here and then loses it on Tuesday. There are rumors that Kofi's injured, so I don't know if they'd want him to work, you know, 2 out of 3 days just to regain the title back on a Tuesday. But I would not be surprised if Samoa Joe were to win. If Kofi's injury is worse than we expect, I could absolutely see that happening. But it's just been like, what? It's like such a good run right now. And I'm not even mad that he shows up on Raw, because the wild card bullshit. Like, I'm not even mad about that, because he's delivering quality. And we knew that Kofi could do that, you know, even before he was put in the main event, WrestleMania. So I just love this era right now, and hopefully it continues.
As you talked about Austin Theory and JD Drake, WWE just put up a 8-minute video of hyping up their match on their Facebook page.
Wow.
Like I said, this is for those guys, this is massive.
It is.
This is WWE's Facebook. It's got over 1 million followers, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's fine. 39 million.
That's it?
That's it? What do you mean that? 39 million followers, you know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, this is the first time a lot of people have seen Austin Theory and JD Drake. Hey, this is great exposure for them. But yeah, back to Extreme Rules. Yeah, I think the Kofi Kingston Samoa Joe match, if you're not gonna, because like you said, you've already seen Ricochet and AJ Styles, I'd imagine the match is going to be even better than the one they had on Raw a couple weeks ago. But besides that, I'm gonna go another one too that I'm looking forward to.
I think I know what you're gonna say.
SmackDown tag title match?
No.
Okay, well, that's where I'm going, because Daniel Bryan and Rowan, Big E, Xavier Woods, Heavy Machinery, I think that could be a fun match. Where are you going, though?
Wow, when's the last time the SmackDown tag team titles and the Raw tag team titles were on the same show?
You know, I don't know. Pay-per-view. I still advocate for them being merged, so we have to
look. Well, I'm surprised you picked that one over the Raw one when you have the Revival and the Usos.
Look, that's going to be a great match. I've seen it before, though.
Okay. I feel like that wasn't the one.
That's not to say that they're not going to have a great match this time around as well. They're two of the best tag teams in the world. Usos are my favorite tag team going, personally. And like the Revival as well, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, the Triple Threat, different element. Heavy Machinery on a pay-per-view. Good for them.
True. We'll see how they do on the quote-unquote big stage. I'm looking forward to that. I'm thinking, well, so that was the big stage, right?
Of course.
Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley is going to be a last man standing match, and I'm actually really looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
If they tear things apart like they've been doing the last couple weeks, yes, that should be a fun match.
Yeah, I think we'll see some good stuff here, and that'll be, I think, I'm not saying, because there's nothing right now, at least on the Wikipedia page, which is pretty consistent with programming with the pre-show matches. Nothing's been announced for the pre-show yet. So right now, none of these matches are set for the pre-show. So they could probably add a show, or obviously one of these will be in the pre-show. I can see the Strowman Lashley match being on the pre-show and actually being like awesome.
Oh,
I can actually see that.
The pre-show. You know what's going to be on the pre-show. It's going to be the Cruiserweight Championship. Drew Gulak in his hometown is not even going to get on the main card.
They have enough time, right? They have an hour, right?
They're not even going to get on the main card. And if they have two kickoff matches, which I think they typically do, right? It's probably going to be a Cruiserweight title and a SmackDown tag title. Or maybe the Raw tag title, because it's a one-on-one match.
And the Usos are in it.
Yeah, they always in the pre-show. So, yeah. That's our quick and review of the big weekend that's ahead in pro wrestling. So,
you think Baron Corbin becomes Universal Champion?
If the titles were like not on the line to get like winner take all, I would say Lacey Evans wins the women's title. I still don't think, I wouldn't think Baron Corbin would win the Universal title. But I'm just going to go against it. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not going to put that out into the universe. It's not going to do that.
You can't speak it into existence.
Yeah. So on that note, Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
You can follow me at Nick Bacone on Twitter and follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/TheStraightShooters. And you could also catch this podcast on phillyvoice.com, phillyinfluencer.com. It's everywhere, man. We're everywhere. We're global.
Global on The Straight Shooters. Of course, like I said earlier, you can find us on a bunch of platforms. We're on Apple Podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on there. Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. You can rate, review, and subscribe to us on all those platforms as well. Player FM, SoundCloud, and Spotify, and the mothership, wildfireradio.com. You can find all 202 prior episodes of The Straight Shooters. You can find them on there and on SoundCloud as well. In the meantime, for Nick Bacone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening and, well, just listening, not watching. Thanks for listening to episode 203 of The Straight Shooters. Be sure, if you're going to Jim Ross's show in Philly at Dave & Buster's, I will be there Sunday afternoon. Come hang out with your boy. I'll be there. My homie Tommy Rowan. So, I'll be there. So check me out. And, we're going to do some big things in the future as well. So we won't tease it too much right now. But we got some good stuff cooking up in the future. But in the meantime, we'll catch y'all again next week for episode 204 of the pod.
Peace.
You've been listening to The Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio. For advertising opportunities, contact Nick Picone via email at PiconeNick@gmail.com or call 856-625-1190.